OpenPrinter is one of the more cryptically named projects on today's HN front page, 910 upvotes and 228 comments, which puts it in the top tier of community interest today. The URL is opentools.studio, and it's a collection of open source printer and document tooling. The name OpenPrinter might sound mundane, but the reception suggests it's touching a genuine pain point.
The printing ecosystem has been remarkably resistant to improvement for about 2 decades. Part of that is economic. Printer manufacturers have a razor and blades business model where the hardware is subsidized by proprietary ink and driver lock-in, and they have strong incentives to keep the software stack closed and fragmented. Open source alternatives have existed for a long time, but OpenPrinter appears to be packaging a suite of tools in a way that's actually accessible to non-specialists.
The HN comments are full of people sharing horror stories about printer drivers on Linux, about enterprise print servers requiring legacy Windows infrastructure, about PDF rendering inconsistencies across platforms. There's clearly pent-up demand for a coherent open toolchain here. Whether OpenPrinter specifically becomes the solution or just catalyzes the conversation is worth watching.
DNS Globe is a more focused tool with a very clean purpose. It's a Rust-based 2i application that lets you watch DNS propagation happen in real time around the world. 70 points and 51 comments. Built with Rust's terminal UI ecosystem, it visualizes how a DNS record change propagates across different resolvers globally, which is genuinely useful for anyone who's ever pushed a DNS change and then spent the next hour refreshing DNS propagation checkers in their browser.
The Rust angle is interesting because it's become the default language choice for developer tools in this category. Small binaries, fast startup, good cross-platform support, and the community ecosystem around Terminal U. iLibraries like Ratatouille is mature enough that building something polished isn't as painful as it was 3 years ago. The 5 and 14 Labs team releasing this on GitHub suggests it came out of internal tooling, which is often where the best developer tools originate.
The big infrastructure story today, though, is Flipper Zero's announcement about the future of their development platform. 352 points and 149 comments. Flipper Zero, for context, is a portable multi-tool for hardware hackers. It can read and emulate RFID cards, infrared signals, sub-gigahertz radio protocols, and interfaces with a wide range of hardware standards. It became genuinely popular, not just with security researchers, but with curious hobbyists, which also made it controversial with regulators in a few countries who worried about garage door opener emulation.
The blog post details a significant shift in their development model. They're moving toward a more community-driven firmware development process, with clearer contribution pathways and a more modular plugin architecture. The subtext in the HN comments is that Flipper Zero's team has been stretched thin trying to maintain the official firmware while also managing regulatory relationships in multiple markets. Delegating more to the community while maintaining a stable core is a classic open source governance pivot that projects reach after a certain scale.
What I find interesting from a hardware security perspective is what this implies about the broader ecosystem. Flipper Zero succeeded by making hardware protocol interaction accessible to people who aren't electrical engineers. If their community development model works, you could see a proliferation of plugins addressing highly specific use cases, industrial protocol analysis, specific IoT device interaction, specialized frequency ranges that no central team could resource. The risk is fragmentation. The upside is surface area coverage they couldn't achieve alone.
The modernizing a 25-year-old C++ unit testing framework story also landed today, part two of a series on Fresh Sources, which only has 19 points but came up in our research. This is exactly the kind of niche technical deep dive that HN does well. Updating legacy testing infrastructure is unglamorous work that matters enormously to any codebase that's been running for decades. The series is walking through specific decisions around modernizing for C++17 and C++20 standards while maintaining backward compatibility, and the comment thread has people sharing their own war stories about inherited test suites.